The major theme of the Bible is liberty.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, the gathering storm of unconstitutional assaults on religious freedom seem to be gaining strength.
That's what we're really concerned with, is the proper interpretation of the First Amendment, which protects people's rights to live according to their faith, whatever that faith may be.
And there are even members of the United States Senate attacking Christian judicial nominees for their Christian faith.
I think it's actually very alarming and disconcerting that some senators, particularly Democrat senators, would try to impose a religious test for a nominee.
How do these attacks on Christianity and the Constitution threaten all of us? And what can we do about them? Find out on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. There is an ill wind blowing in the land of the free and the home of the brave. This gathering storm increasingly threatens our fundamental freedoms, including the free exercise of religion. And all this in a nation largely founded and settled by Christians, adhering to a biblical worldview. But in the 20th century, with help from radical organizations like the ACLU, an activist U.S. Supreme Court began the process of systematically secularizing America. That's how we find ourselves today, in a nation founded upon religious freedom, where United States senators directly attack the Christian faith of appointees to the federal judiciary. On today's program, we will show you how these bigoted and anti-Christian senators are trampling upon the U.S. Constitution. And we give you an opportunity to make a tangible difference in stopping it. We begin with the unvarnished truth. There is underway an unprecedented assault on Christians and historic Christian teaching conducted by radical members of the highest legislative body in America. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
I think whatever a religion is, it has its own dogma. The law is totally different.
September 2017, appointed to be a federal judge by the Trump administration, Catholic law professor Amy Coney Barrett is grilled by the Senate.
And I think in your case, Professor, when you read your speeches, the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you. And that's of concern.
I think it's actually very alarming and disconcerting that some senators, particularly Democrat senators, would try to impose a religious test for a nominee. That's something that obviously our founders never intended when they drafted the Constitution. Article 6 forbids it.
They said no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. And what they did was express the principle that regardless of someone's religious affiliation, they should be able to pursue a public office.
And the fact that these senators would try to use cleverly worded questions to get around that shows just how desperate they are to obstruct these fantastic nominees.
If you hold politically incorrect views, which are inherent in believing classic Christian doctrines, then you're not fit for office, say some modern secularists. Here's Todd Starnes of Fox News, commenting on a classic example of a modern-day elite, in this case, Senator Bernie Sanders, trying to impose a religious test on who can serve in government.
Bernie Sanders literally screamed at Russell Vought from Wheaton College for believing that salvation through Christ is the only way to get to heaven.
Senator, I'm a Christian.
I understand you are a Christian, but this country is made up of people who are not just. I understand that Christianity is the majority religion, but there are other people who have different religions in this country and around the world. In your judgment, do you think that people who are not Christians are going to be condemned?
I wrote a post based on being a Christian and attending a Christian school that has a statement of faith that speaks clearly with regard to the centrality of Jesus Christ in salvation.
I would simply say, Mr. Chairman, that this nominee is really not someone who is what this country is supposed to be about.
Our founders gave us the freedom to be who we are and to have the government totally out of testing whether our religious viewpoints are acceptable. We are to be free from those kind of actions because they represent the Inquisition at its worst in the medieval era.
Critics note that the irony of these secularly imposed tests against religious people is that the founders encouraged religion and morality on a voluntary basis.
I'm reminded of George Washington's farewell address. This is his parting advice to the nation, in which he says, of all the habits and dispositions which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports.
Recently, California Senator Kamala Harris and Hawaii Senator Mazie Hirono raked a would-be federal judge, Brian Buescher, over the coals for being a member of the charitable Catholic group, the Knights of Columbus.
Well, all of these senators have really demonstrated a hostility towards religion and its role in the public sphere, specifically in one's profession.
Is being gay a perversion? Senator, I, when I was a politician, I had a very clear view on whether it was appropriate for two same-sex persons to marry. I stand by that.
So you do not believe it's appropriate for two gay people to marry?
Senator, I continue to hold that view.
Their questions really demonstrate a mistrust of faith and its role. And what a lot of these questions really ask of the nominees is an affirmation of certain behavior, like the LGBT lifestyle, of the practice of abortion.
We are in a day that evil is called good and good is called evil. We're not only in a day where evil is called good and good is called evil, we're in a day that if you are evil, you are promoted, and if you're good, you're demoted. We're in a day that if you are involved in all types of unscriptural lifestyles, you will be recognized by the highest power.
It's chilling to see that so many in our own government are now openly hostile towards Christianity. I'm joined now by the daughter of Dr. D. James Kennedy and my very good friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad knew where these assaults on Christian freedom and Christian ideas would lead, didn't he?
He sure did. And that's because he knew that freedom was a gift from God. My father knew its history, and he knew how rare a gift freedom actually is. Even today, if we look around the globe, we see billions of people living under tyranny and oppression. But those who came to these shores to settle our land, and those who later wrote our founding documents, knew that basing a nation upon the truth of God results in true liberty. Yet, sadly, there are those who are trying to erode those foundations, and with them, our most precious freedoms. It is absolutely essential that we reclaim our biblical basis, and with it, our cherished freedoms. My father shares more in this portion of his important message, What Price Liberty?
What is the major theme of the Bible? Well, there are those scholars who would maintain and defend the thesis, and no doubt there are some others who would disagree, but I think with some good cause and justification, that the major theme of the Bible is liberty. One historian has said that the most important gift that America has given to the world is the gift of religious liberty.
proclaim liberty throughout all the land. Now the words of the Old Testament and the words which are inscribed upon the Liberty Bell. Well, we need, I think, a few more Liberty Bells to be heard throughout the land today who will proclaim liberty before we find ourselves suffering from the loss of it. George Orwell. I'm sure most of you must have read 1984 or Animal Farm, two of his famous books. He was asked one time about the future. What was his vision or picture of the future? And his picture of the future is unforgettable. If you've ever heard it before, you certainly remember it. And if you've never heard it before, you'll never forget it. The future, he said, is a picture of a boot stomping on the face of a man forever. Liberty. How lightly we esteem it. When so many have shed their blood to provide it, we need men and women who have a love of liberty. And that love of liberty comes out of the hearts of those who have discovered liberty in Jesus Christ. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I would ask you today, have you been set free? Have the shackles been broken off from you at Calvary? Have you been set free in the Spirit by Christ? And if He has done that, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord dwells in your heart, and there is a burning flame for liberty. And where that flame is, where the gospel of Christ is preached, there will be an unquenchable flame burning for liberty. And I am confident that all of the oppressors and all of the tyrants and all of the world will not be able to finally stamp out that flame. We need men and women who have that kind of a love, a burning passion for Christ and for the freedom that He can give to men, a freedom from sin, and a freedom from tyranny and oppression. A willingness to pay the price, whatever that might be. Eternal vigilance, or even the cost of blood, as it's cost so many. Are you an American? Are you a Christian? If so, there burns in your heart that same flame for liberty. God grant that once more it may burn brightly in this land, that the stomping boot may not be felt on the face of man.
As you just heard, we have a marvelous heritage of liberty with our forefathers valuing freedom above life itself. Yet now we see freedom crumbling around us as activist courts encroach on our Constitution and with many elected officials aiding and abetting the attack. Thankfully, we have some good news on that front. Freedom requires vigilance, and we are blessed to still have diligent defenders of liberty in our midst. Among those is the legal group First Liberty. And I recently had a chance to sit down and talk with them about the landscape of freedom with their attorney in charge of legal communications, Lathan Watts. Well, Lathan, we are huge fans of First Liberty Institute and the great work you're doing in defending all of our freedom, really, but religious free speech and free exercise questions principally are of great concern today. There have been some good outcomes in the courts, some recent Supreme Court decisions that have rebuked the lower courts for unbiased and in the way that they've handled free exercise questions. But the left never seems to let up, do they? They take their defeats and just charge back up the hill and fight again. What are some of the cases that First Liberty is working on right now?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. We do have quite a few cases making their way through the court system, really at all times. I mean, it's never a dull moment around the office. A few of the cases we have currently that are probably close to the highest level in the court. So we have Coach Joe Kennedy, football coach from Bremerton, Washington, who was fired for taking a knee at the 50-yard line after football games and saying a 15 to 30-second silent prayer. We have represented Coach all the way.
So when a coach says a prayer on a football field, he's clearly establishing a religion, isn't he?
That's what the Ninth Circuit thought. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, in their ruling against Coach Kennedy, said that if an employee engages in any sort of religious activity and they can be seen, that is somehow violating the Establishment Clause. So that's a dangerous precedent if it's allowed to stand.
You can worship in your stained glass ghetto. You take it into the public square, you're going to have trouble.
There is a sort of redefinition or an attempt to redefine what the free exercise of religion means by some of these cases, and you will hear the phrase the right to worship tossed around a lot. Mm-hmm. But the free exercise of religion means the free exercise of religion. It means your ability to live according to your faith. And that's really all that Coach Kennedy was doing.
The president has done a remarkable work in the early years of his first term in appointing judges that we would call either originalists or constitutionalists. Are you optimistic as to what we're seeing in the federal courts in the way that President Trump has had such good success in confirming truly constitutionalists?
Yes, so far so good. I mean, the judges that he has appointed.
He stole some people right out of your shop.
One of our most active volunteer attorneys from the private sector was a man named James Ho, who's now on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. So we're obviously very pleased with that appointment. But yes, the judges so far that have been appointed and confirmed have been excellent jurists, and we have analyzed their time. If they were currently judges, we've looked at opinions that they have written to kind of give us an indication as to where they stand on textualism and the meaning of the First Amendment and the Free Exercise Clause and the Establishment Clause. And we've been very pleased so far with the judges that have been confirmed.
Speaking of the so-called doctrine of the separation of church and state, Justice Rehnquist said that the so-called wall of separation was a bad metaphor based on bad history and should be frankly and explicitly abandoned. What's the likelihood, in your opinion, of that happening, of us returning back to the words of the Constitution, not a letter by Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist?
Well, that phrase has sort of made its way into the the lexicon of just American legal conversation. What I think is more important will be the decisions that come out of these courts that do respect what the original intent of the First Amendment was, regardless of whether or not they used the phrase separation of church and state. If they're getting the decisions right, then that's what we're really concerned with, is the proper interpretation of the First Amendment, which protects people's rights to live according to their faith, whatever that faith may be, and not establish an official church of the United States of America.
We can be thankful that groups like First Liberty are actively defending our First Amendment freedoms of religion in the courts. And we can be further thankful that President Trump has been extraordinarily faithful in keeping his promise to nominate judges who adhere to the original text of the Constitution in their rulings. But the courts are where hard left radicals have made their greatest social gains on things like abortion and same-sex marriage. So naturally, they are fighting tooth and nail. Dozens of President Trump's nominees to the federal judiciary are being held up by obstructionists in the Senate with the solitary goal of stopping the president from filling important judicial vacancies. President Trump's reformation of the federal courts may have a positive impact for freedom that will last for generations. So with liberty hanging in the balance and the realistic possibility of returning the federal courts to a genuine constitutional jurisprudence, it is absolutely critical that our voices for freedom are heard by the leaders of the U.S. Senate. We are calling upon them to do their constitutional duty and confirm these judges. With more than 130 federal court vacancies, we have a very real opportunity to see them filled by God-fearing women and men who will uphold the Constitution, protect the value of human life, and restore righteousness to our nation. In fact, there are 61 highly qualified judges awaiting Senate confirmation even as we speak. The only thing keeping these judges from being confirmed are the outrageous stalling tactics of Senate radical leftists and socialists. We have put together an urgent petition to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham, urging them to use their power to move swiftly in confirming these judges. Please, go online right away to sign this important petition. It's available at djkm.org/judges. We certainly commend Senators McConnell and Graham for their strong commitment to good judicial nominees, but they need our support. So please join us to encourage them as they face opposition from the left to get these judicial openings filled with President Trump's excellent nominees. Again, you can sign the petition online right now at djkm.org/judges. And we have an important and valuable resource for you that explores America's deep heritage of freedom and reveals what's at risk if we fail to preserve it in our day. It's our book, Reclaiming the Lost Legacy, The Founders and the First Amendment. And we'll send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to help us continue the essential work we do on issues like this. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Reclaiming the Lost Legacy features chapters from Dr. Kennedy's writings, Judge Roy Moore, myself, and others. In order to reclaim this legacy, we must have a historically proper understanding of the cornerstone of all of our freedoms as found in the First Amendment. This book provides that while examining the actual words of the founders who anticipated many of the current abuses of our freedoms. Reclaiming the Lost Legacy will remind you why our heritage of liberty is worth preserving today. And we will set forth concrete steps for how we can do this. We'll send you this vital book to you as our thanks for your generous donation. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. If you have not been paying attention to the trajectory of things, it might seem shocking that members of the United States Senate openly attack Christians for their faith in confirmation hearings. But in reality, we've been headed in this direction for quite some time. On the left, there is one unassailable principle, one driving goal that is the foundation stone of their entire political scheme. That principle is the right to have sex anytime, anywhere, with anyone, without any possible consequences. For decades, this has driven the abortion movement, which is often couched in lofty rhetoric about rights and gauzy expressions of compassion for victims of rape. The grim reality is that this is actually about the ability to erase the human product of the sexual union for the mere sake of convenience. This same driving principle of unbridled sexual expression is also the reason for the totalitarian insistence on the left that homosexual behavior must be allowed and even glorified. Woe to the poor Christian baker or photographer whose conscience forbids them from participating in a same-sex wedding. The left will attempt to bring the full force of government down upon such an offender, silencing all dissent and forcing conformity. This is a clash of cultural orthodoxies, a duel of competing religions. On the one side stands the God of the Bible, and on the other side stands their false god, Eros, who demands to be worshipped. This is precisely the reason we now see U.S. senators on the left openly attacking the Christian beliefs of judicial nominees. Our Constitution guarantees there shall be no religious test for public office. But the actual words of the Constitution hold little fascination for radical leftists, especially when religious beliefs may possibly stand in the way of their ideal of unfettered sexual expression and unrestrained worship of Eros. They will use illegal religious tests and much, much more to stop those who hold to a Christian worldview and who actually value the Constitution. Their greatest fear is someone who will uphold the Constitution and undo all the judicial fiats that have accomplished their agenda over the past 50 years. This is the one thing that absolutely cannot be allowed from their perspective. Sexual license is their God, and He will brook no blasphemy. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Truth is given by God, not you, not me. Wisdom is demanded of God. Holiness, sanctification, obedience is not optional.
The only people they really want to discriminate against and rule out are Christians. That's the people they want to get rid of. You.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.